It's always a wonderful thing as we start thinking about the Word of God, if we are going to be able to look to our young people and see that they're going to remain firm in the faith. Because I will tell you, brethren, they're the future. And if we don't keep our young people, we're not going to have a church. Jesus asked, will there be faith found on the earth at His coming? It's an answer that each of us needs to remember. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, at verse 7, the writer says, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good that we may share His holiness. We were reading on the internet this last week, and Walter Williams, a man who's a columnist for some papers, gave some evidence about fathers and Father's Day. And he pointed out that in 1914, the percentage of American families that were black, who had both a father and mother in the home, exceeded that of the whites. That is, that there was a father and a mother in the homes, 88% of them. And as you think about that, you realize that times have changed. We talked last week about times are filled with swift transition. Fathers have not done what we see our Heavenly Father doing right here. And as we look at our Heavenly Father, we realize that we have a relationship with Him. That is, He is our Heavenly Father, and He is a Father who cares for us and disciplines us. And so as we think about this day that the world has decided to call Father's Day, we realize that our Heavenly Father is an example of what a father should be. Our Father is caring. That's the very first thing that I want to point out to you. He cares for His children. Children in a home where a father is not present have two people who miss them. One is the wife and the other the children. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 tells us, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. One of the things that we learn about children, if you toss them in the air, the first time you do it, they're frightened unless they know they can trust you. And so we, as children of God, need to remember the song that we often sing, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. In this land in which we live, we see so many changes. We see places where there is no room in a house for a father, where little boys do not have fathers who care for them and who watch over them. Our Father in heaven is also forgiving. We make mistakes, every one of us, on a daily basis. Back in Exodus chapter 32, the children of Israel sinned greatly as Moses was on the mount. And they thought that they did not have anyone to trust. They did not trust our Heavenly Father. And God told Moses, they have turned aside quickly out of the way I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Down in verse 14, the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken about bringing on his people. He started to wipe them all out right then. And every once in a while, as a heavenly father, we as earthly fathers may think that we need to do the same with our children. But we have to remember that we have to forgive even as he does. He is faithful. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Also in the New Testament, Romans chapter 15 and verse 8, I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed. I hope that you don't worry about God's promises to you, that you recognize that he is faithful and just, and what he has said, he will perform. He's good. Psalms, the 8th chapter, verse 3. David is writing, he says, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You know, that passage means more to an older person. Young people think they have the whole world. They've got life in front of them. It's not going to be taken from them. And yet as we grow older, we realize how few are our years and how quickly they pass away. And the children that were once young are now having children who are older than you remember your own. And you realize that life is all too short. That this world is not what it's all about. Verse 5 continues, you have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. We rule over the seas, over the lands. We talk about how to control the rains and the wind. And we think about the animals and how they serve us. You have made them rulers. Speaking of us, over the works of your hands, you put everything under their feet. As we think about what God has done for us, and we realize how wonderful his love and his caring is, we always need to keep in mind James chapter 1, verse 17, where he says, every good and perfect gift is from above. I don't know how often we sing Count Your Blessings. I know it's one of Nick's favorite songs. He tries to lead it at least once. Whenever he's up, it's got to be thought about. Have you counted your blessings? Do you think about them? Do you realize that they all come from your Heavenly Father? And you may say, no, I've done that on strength of my own. Where did you get it? From whence does your health and your ability come? Those come down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. You know, in this world, as we look at people, we realize we can't trust them. We realize they fail us. So often, our heavenly Father does not. And more than that, he is impartial. 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 17, since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. This world is not our home, but we have a father who will judge us on what we have done. Not on what the group has done, not on what somebody else has done, but on what we have done. And as we start to examine ourselves as Christians, we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we're told to examine ourselves, to look carefully at how we have lived. Are we just as our Heavenly Father is just? In Acts the 10th chapter at verse 34, Peter is looking at some Gentiles, people, and he says, we don't even have a right to come into your home. We're Jews, and you're Gentiles, and we don't have a right to be here. Peter began to speak. He says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. As you think about this and you realize the problems that our nation has in dealing with people of all races and nations, different ethnic backgrounds as they have come in, and you know, that's basically a definition of an American. But it is truly the definition of a Christian. It doesn't matter where you're from or what your father did or who your father was. What matters is what you do. And so our Father is patient, realizing that we don't often learn how to do these things on the first try. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you." He's talking about the coming of the end of the world. And there are people who say, "Oh, it's not coming. It's not yet." Yesterday on the radio program, we had a fellow who said, "I want to tell you when the end of the time is going to be." And he wanted to tell us who the Antichrist was, and he missed it. He is patient with you. We don't know when He's coming. As we all pointed out, we need to keep working so that we stand ready. When He does come, we'll be waiting for Him. He wants everyone to come to repentance. This is something that all little children, I hope, would learn in this world. But unfortunately, they don't. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Think about the gift that God was willing to give for each of us. And what our earthly fathers sometimes fail to realize is the love that is owed to every one of their children. Our God, our Heavenly Father, is merciful. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise." He's patient, not wanting everyone to perish. That's the important phrase that we're focusing on in this slide. Not wanting everyone to perish. Have you thought about what opportunities have been given you? There are some here who have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've seen the invitation given for years, and they haven't obeyed. Why? What is it that keeps you from deciding that I want to obey the Heavenly Father? You may say, "Well, I've got an earthly father and he beat me." Your Heavenly Father is going to try you too. There will be trials and tribulations. They may not be physical beatings, but I will assure you that there are going to be troubles that are going to overwhelm you as you go through life. And the question that you as an individual father have is, how are you going to deal with these things? As our Heavenly Father, or as you wish to be? I've gone over just a few of the attributes of God. And as we see these few attributes that I've already looked at, we're going to now go back and think about those again. It's Father's Day. And that doesn't mean much in the Church of our Lord, because we realize that we come together on the first day of the week to commemorate the death and suffering of His Son. But as earthly fathers, some of you who are about to be fathers, some who have just become fathers, we looked at our Heavenly Father and we saw these attributes. He was caring. He's forgiving. He's faithful. He's good. He's impartial. He's just, He's patient, He's loving, and He's merciful. And then, fathers, as you're here today, I want you to think about these things. How many of us take care of our children's needs regardless of the cost to us? I am reminded every time I go by the casino of how much money people are wasting in pursuit of something that they're not going to get there. When you talk with someone who works in a casino, they'll look at you and say, "Hey, it's a business." And people come and people go, but they all lose money. Now, they may tell you, "Oh, no, we gain." He said, "No, they don't. Not in the long run. It's just a matter of how long they want to play, because they're going to lose." If you wonder why that casino down there can say so happily that we've already taken in so many hundred millions of dollars a year, and he said, "We're going to give it to you for your schools." You realize it was taken out of the mouths of young children who didn't have, because their parents were hoping for a lucky strike, a big break. You know, as we think about those things, we see lines around here for the lotteries. That's not how we take care of our children. Our children are taken care of on a daily basis because their fathers are willing to go out and work to make every effort that their children might be taken care of. And then this forgiving part. The prodigal son, in Luke the 15th chapter, verse 20, spent all that his father had given him. It was his share of the inheritance. And then he's out there and he's completely lost all of his friends. And so he's feeding the pigs and he's not allowed to eat what the pigs are eating. It says he would have liked to have filled his stomach with those things. But his employers didn't provide that for him. They fed the pigs evidently better than he was eating. And he came to himself. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to the father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." There's a song that I've listened to many times on the internet, and it has to do with, "You can always come home." Children very often wander away. And I will tell you, there's nothing like the love of a father and a mother for their child. Our Heavenly Father shows us the example. You can always come home. And there may be words of admonishment. There may be "I told you so's." But if they're truly understanding, if parents are truly understanding of what God says, your faults are going to be overcome by their love if you'll just turn and come home. That's what the prodigal son did. In James chapter 5 and verse 11, "Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast." Have you ever thought about how wonderful it is when you see someone who can just steady? They're on the job. They're there. You can count on them. I've hired a fair number of people in my life. And as you look back over them, you realize that some of them were really good employees. And others just didn't get the job done. And so James says, you've heard of the steadfastness of Job. You've seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. It means don't lie to your children. Our Heavenly Father doesn't lie to us, and what we have to do is speak the truth to them. Now, sometimes the truth hurts. But at the same time, we need to realize that we, like our Heavenly Father, must be truthful in all things. And then this question of good. And that term good is sort of a subjective thing, isn't it? Well, how do you know you're good? What have you done? I have known children who say, "My father's just an absolute..." And then they just go off into phrases that I don't want to repeat. Because he didn't do this or he didn't do that. And children can easily find fault with their earthly fathers. We cannot with our Heavenly Father. But fathers, as we think about this, and we realize that we are called upon for certain things, especially for instilling. Right now, I can't think of anything more important than morals. As I see this country at its present time, we're in an absolute disaster. And I expect that you see the same thing, and I tell my children and my grandchildren often, those things are not there to affect me, they're just there to aggravate me. Because I don't truly have to face them, you're going to have to face them. And unless you stand up and be counted, things are going to continue changing to the way they are in other places in the world where fathers are not considerate of their children. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? That's a mean trick. Hand the kid a snake instead of a fish. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. You may not be familiar with the scorpions that they have in the Middle East, but I will tell you, you can see an entire arm turn black because of a sting from one of them. And as you think about that, you say, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Fathers, each one of us need to remember that our Heavenly Father has set an example for us. I have known fathers who had every gadget and gizmo known to man while their children were dressed in clothes that didn't fit, were out of date. It just, you look at it and say, how many times has that piece of clothing been washed? When you start thinking about buying gizmos, think about your Heavenly Father and what He did for us and what we should do for our children. It's a grave responsibility, that fatherhood. And here's the one that can really set a family at war with itself. As you start talking about being impartial, talk about having a father or a mother pass away, the last one, where the family assets have to be distributed. And then you're going to truly find out whether the father was good at teaching the children about how to be impartial, about sharing, about being kind to one another. You know, in Genesis chapter 37, Joseph comes out and he's had all these dreams. And they look at him and they saw he's coming out in a coat of many colors. It was expensive. Their dyes were very poor. And so a coat of many colors had to be rather new and it had to be specially made. And so his father, they saw, loved him more than all the rest. Fathers, here's a piece of advice from our Heavenly Father. As he looked down, he saw, men, you're not able to handle this. Sometimes people will wonder why they shouldn't get divorced. And the children are one really good reason. Really good reason. Not only does God say you shouldn't, but as you think about this, you realize that children of a second father in a marriage are virtually always treated differently than those of the first father. You don't have to talk with many children before they'll start to tell you about how their earthly father did not treat them as he did the other children. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. As earthly fathers, just as our Heavenly Father has done, so we must give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all, so that everyone will look at us and say, that man raised good kids. That man was a good father. That's what we're striving for. We're striving to copy what our Heavenly Father has done for us. Are we just? I watched two little children in a sandbox down in Texas many years ago. And a father of one of them was sitting over there on the side, and he wasn't paying any attention. He was reading a paper. And two little boys were playing in the sandbox, and one of the little boys started doing something that I just heard the father tell them not to do. It turns out it was his child. And the other little boy started trying to stop him. And he kept trying to stop him, and they heard the fuss. The father heard the fuss. And he looked up, and he immediately got on to the one who was trying to correct his son. Do not judge by appearances, but judge with righteous judgment. It's a small tale that tells us we need to find out the facts before we start yelling at someone. And then we need to consider our own actions recently. I can remember times when I was young and, you know, spilling something on the table could really get you upset until you learn that you're going to do it next if you get on to them. And you better watch it, because who's going to do it for you? And so, fathers, as we look at our just judgment, Paul says at 2 Corinthians 5:12, we're not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer to those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. We need to look on the hearts. And each of our children is different, just as each of us is different before our Heavenly Father. And you know, the amazing thing about parents, good parents, they love all of their children, every one of them. I asked my mother when one of her children had a problem, and they were in their 50s. And that meant that she was in her 80s. And I said, Mother, how long do you worry about your children? She said, I don't know yet. It hasn't stopped. All of our lives are what most mothers say. In fact, I even saw a sign once that needs to go up. Children, your mothers will look at you and they'll say, I worried about you before you were born. I worried about you when you were born. I worried about you when you were 2. I worried about you when you were 4. I worried about you when you were 10 and when you were 16, and you might as well get over it. I'm going to worry about you now. Fathers, we need to remember that. We have the same responsibility to love our children and then to be patient. This is one of the things that we have to all work on. We know that we get angry so quickly, and we have to continue to work on that day by day. Fathers, we should never be angry at our wives or at our children. We should try to be understanding. You know, I'm reminded by, he wouldn't want me to point him out, but he's not here. I'll tell you, Lawrence just didn't ever raise his voice. And I've seen him speak to me so kindly about things. I still remember one time when we were putting a calf finishing touches on a piece of cabinetry. And he looked up at me and he said, would you like me to hammer that nail? And I said, that's a real nice way to say, don't mess this thing up. Because he knew how I hit a nail. Well, I hammered him. It was a good lesson then. Remember, fathers, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. We have to remember our Heavenly Father. And I think this idea of loving is especially important. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind. Do not repay evil, for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. We all need to put additional effort in as we see our Heavenly Father. In His mercy, He gave us His Son. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, He says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Let us think about all these great attributes and think about how far short we come. And then let's resolve to do as our Heavenly Father, to become more like Him, to become as He is an example to us, an example for our children. We need to be earthly fathers who remember that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us. My question is, are you a child of God? In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, we learn that those who are sons of God through faith have been baptized into Christ and have put on Christ. Baptism, 1 Peter chapter 3, which corresponds to this, the flood that wiped out the sin of the world, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you haven't determined to serve your Heavenly Father, read these verses and determine to do His will. If we can help you, won't you let us know while together we stand and we sing.